It's time for Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday, where we will discuss spiritual, mental, and physical health issues. It's Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio. It's time for Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday, where we will discuss spiritual, mental, and physical health issues. It's Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
All right, it's time for Healthy Monday. And again, we have begun the program, but here we are. Thank you so much for joining us. Tonight and for next week, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a series, as I stated before, on how we think and how we are to develop healthy thoughts, power thoughts. All right? So tonight we're going to be looking at Proverbs. We're going to be looking at the Book of Wisdom. We're going to look at Proverbs 23 and 7. So if you have your pen and paper, I want you to get ready to take some notes. Also, I want you to join us on the call. You can do so by dialing in at 858-357-9137. And you can ask questions. When you phone in, please do initially put your phone on mute until you have a question. And then when you have a question, or either those of you who are online, just put in your question. I'll make sure that we get to you to answer it. Because after all, that's what this podcast is about. It is to help develop and mature those of us in the body of Christ. All right? So tonight, for some of you who don't know, I am your host, Dr. Ruby Moore MacMillan, your biblical health professor. And as I was saying, tonight we want to talk about the mind. Thinking properly. I don't know about you, but you know, there is so many things that's going on. It appears to be so many things that come to us on the left and on the right. And while we are trying to do one thing, and especially if, I want to really state this, thank you, Holy Spirit, especially if you have not prayed, let's say that. If you're not prayed up and if you're constantly not thinking about who was in control of your life, a lot of times our emotions just go out the window. Our feelings take over. I really don't want to get ahead of myself on this discussion because I want us to really look at breaking the chains of strongholds on our mental and on our minds. Yes, on our soulish realms. You know, where all our emotions, where our feelings are, where we just let any and everything come out of our mouth, which we don't do that. As believers, I'm going to show it to you. We're going to talk about it. First of all, let's look at what the word says. It says in Proverbs 23 and 7, it says, as a man or woman thinketh, so is he. So what brings about your thinking, your thoughts, when you meditate on something for a while, when you've sat, when you've mused on it, when you've just not said anything to anybody about it, you have your own thoughts. You have your own perception. You are looking at it from your own background, from where you came from, your home experience, whether you've had a trauma with that matter. There's a lot of things that surround your perception about how you think about a thing. And always, this is the key, we've learned that it's not always that we think the right thoughts. And that's what I love about the word, because the word will teach us how we ought to think. Do you know that? First of all, Philippians 4:8 says this, that after we have done all of those other things, after we've had all kind of emotions, especially naturally, because we have a tendency to think about things the way we feel it. We have that particular opinion. We have that belief or that idea. And then we deal with our feelings, which is that emotional state or reaction. I don't know about you, but I'm still working on that. He's still delivering me from that thing. Okay. And our perception of the event at hand, because in our feelings, we know they're what? For women, for almost anyone, we know that feelings are fickle. They are wishy-washy. They are subject to change at any moment. And you know, for us, there are certain times that we are just wavering. We just like a wave. You know, you can ask me this morning how I'm doing, and then by the time this evening, I am in another realm. And you know what I mean. Because it's just feelings. It's just our emotions. They just roller coaster. But the word tells us in Philippians 4 and 8, it says, finally, after everything else that we've gone through, after every emotion, after our body language, how we talk to people through our body language, because you know we do that as well. And after we have done that, the word says in Philippians 4, and it said, finally, my brothers and sisters, this is how I want you to think. I want you to think on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I want to count those out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 8 things that the word Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, how we are to think. Because truly, after we've thought about it, after we've dwelt on it for a while, after we've mused on it, after we've meditated on it for a while, and especially, come on, stay with me, especially during the times when things happen to us, we have experiences and our emotions and our feelings are all over the place, and they're wrong. And the reason why I can tell you they're wrong, because if they are not in these 8 elements, and then I want to get into it, describing to you the 7 universal emotions. There are 7. The 7 universal emotions, listen. They are anger, fear, disgust, happiness, sadness, surprise, and contempt. Now, some of these I know you might recognize, and especially the very first one. I mean, it's all right to be angry. In it, the book of Ecclesiastes, from Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 22, says this, says, there is an appointed time for everything under the sun, and that is in its appropriate place. You need to think about that. When you have anger, and it is a justified anger, and that you control your actions in that anger because of what someone has brought up in your life or have done to you, that's all right. Now, the decision that you make on how you want to handle yourself in that situation with that individual is up to you. You have a choice. You have a choice then to do it right or a choice then to do it wrong. You have to think about that thing. So you can think on what the word says about the acts of the flesh. Yay. This is where we're going, because we're thinking the way that we, as the Word of God, tells us that we need to think. When we look at Galatians 5, verses 9 through 21, it gives us insight to identify our thinking and our actions about any given emotion. When we look at Galatians 5:19, it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. And I just want to go through them, and I will talk about the ones that's applicable to us thinking, but all of it is thinking. I can't eliminate it, because what we have thought about eventually comes, is seated in our hearts, it comes out of our mouth, and then it becomes our actions, it becomes part of our character. So Galatians 5:19 says this, says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Yeah, we know what it is. Impurity and debauchery, talking about people, having cliques, idolatry, witchcraft, here it comes, hatred, discord, jealousy, listen to this one, fits of rage, jealous ambition, dissension, factions, that's those groupies, not dissension, causing discord, all right, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. The word of God tells us, it says, I warn you, as I did before, Paul says, that those who live like this is clear, who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't, what happens to us that's inflicted by others, right or wrongly, we have the choice to make it right and to respond correctly as a child of God. And I'm not telling you that this is an easy thing, because let me stop right here parenthetically and put this in. I was in myself, I hear somebody that's clicking on. I'm glad you joined me. But I want to say this parenthetically before I come away from this thought. I used to be a person that was angry, and I used to curse all the time. So when people would do anything to me, or I thought they were almost going to do something to me, my response to them was, what the? And I don't give a, and you must be a, you know, those things. Until I sat down one day, this is why I know that as a man thinketh or a woman thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. After a while, I recognized and I heard myself. I heard myself in the words. I heard myself how I was talking to other folk. And I recognized how I was being treated by others. And I recognized that I did not like that about me. I then actually prayed. I said, Father, I recognize that people don't speak to me because of the poison that's coming out of my mouth. Help me to no longer have this. Give me some other words to say. Soften me. Help me that I will not be an insult, that cursing and praise won't come out of the same mouth. Well, when I asked for that, I didn't quite know how that was going to happen. But I had a desire to make an exchange. I wanted something that I'd never had before, so I had to do something different that I'd never done. And that was after I prayed several times. And during the several times that I prayed, I started checking myself. I started it became more obvious. I could recognize when that surge was coming on me. And I had time right in that to say a few words, and that was, "Help me, Lord." That was in my vocabulary for a long time. "Help me, Lord," even before I was delivered from cursing. It's not that I don't know how to curse today, but I choose to think on the things that are pure, think on the things that are lovely, think on the things of good report. This was a discipline, and this was a learned behavior as the Holy Spirit then delivered me. And I'm going to break that down because this is my experience, and I want to give you my testimony. Now, as I was coming through this as a discipline, before I was delivered, this is what the Lord did. As I was praying and asking him to take this away because I didn't want it anymore, I recognized there was a calling on my life, and I recognized that I was to be a leader and not a spoiler and not a curser and not a defiler of the body of Christ. My body is his temple. And I recognized that, wait a minute, I am professing to be a Christian. Yes, I'm talking about, yes, I was. I'm professing to be a Christian, but this is still there. I mean, I'm not delivered. I still have this down in my belly. I still have hurt. I still have those flying off the rack. You know where it says in here from Galatians 5:21 about the fits of rage and all that stuff that was going on, and I still had it, and I didn't want it. So in the course of me asking the Lord for that, a situation came up. My son was in bed in the other room, and I was in my bedroom across the hall almost from my son. And I was on the phone, and I was talking, and then all of a sudden something went thump. And all I could hear was, it was like a, it wasn't a scream, but it was a strong grunt. And I was on the phone, and I said, you have to hold on a few minutes. I hear something. Let me go in here. Let me see what's happening. I went in, and my son was lying under a bunk bed. Now, it had taken 3 men to bring in these big poles on this bunk bed, and my son was on the bottom bunk, and the thing fell down and was crushed in here, and he was wheezing because the thing had fallen and it was on his chest. And when I came around the corner to view this and to see this on my son, I put my hands up and I said, "Jesus!" And I grabbed the poles on the bed, and somehow, by the grace of God, calling on the name of Jesus, I raised that bedpost up, reached under there, and got my son out from under there. Of course, you know, got him to the hospital and did all that and made sure that he was fine. Nothing was crushed in him. Got him to the hospital to emergency. And we went through all of that. And all the time I'm just thanking God. And I'm thinking to thank God. I'm thinking to thank God. Do you hear me? So the change and deliverance came later that same night. I was lying in bed, and as I was going off to sleep, the Holy Spirit was so sweet. He said, "Now today, you have learned to call on the name." You have learned to call on the name that will change anything, any situation, any circumstance. You are now set free. I put my hands up. My pillow was flooded with tears because I recognized that God delivered me in a tragedy, in a trauma situation, with the bed falling on my son. I had already been asking and praying and recognizing that I did not want to have a filthy mouth, that I wanted to have a mouth that was going to praise God. in that situation, the Lord delivered me and let me know that I am now free. I no longer have that desire in me. I no longer think in fits of rage. I no longer think in cursing. He did it for me. So I'm here to tell you tonight that, yes, as a man, a woman thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. So the word would not tell us, listeners, that to give us insight on our identity, to let us know whether or not we're in the flesh or whether we're in the spirit. Because we have to crucify our flesh, and it was crucified with Christ. When he hung on the cross, it was all finished. All of those things that we have to go through and suffer, they were all taken away. Now, all we have to do, because I've learned, all we have to do is ask in the name of Jesus, believing with faith, doing Hebrews 11 and 6. I believe it says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And those that come to him, first of all, must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of those that diligently seek him. So, yes, I was seeking him about changing my thinking, changing my mouth, and healing me and delivering me from those things because I did not want it. That's right. So often our emotions played out in our body language. You know that too? That when someone says something to you, come on, help me. You know, when somebody says something to you that you don't like, you know, you have that reaction, or your body does something, or when you say something to somebody that it's not really from your heart and you don't really mean it, that you have the network and that you have an attitude and your body works with it. You know about those too, right? So that's what I'm talking about that stinking thinking, because it will work out one way or the other, because our emotions play out in the theater of our body. So that's what I was discussing. Our feelings play out in the theater of our mind, because our feelings is what we've thought about, we've mused on it. We've had, you know how you do, you run the thing in your mind, you know, somebody says something to you, you know, especially for us who are married or any type of relationship, somebody else has said something to you and you really didn't kind of like it, but, you know, you have that, you know, you try to have that kind of solemn look, you know, not to have that body reaction, them eyebrows, or, you know, that network or that, you know, something look that you give people when you have disapproval, but you don't really say it out of your mouth. So you hold those feelings in and you work and you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it, but then you are thinking about it in discord. You're thinking about it in hatred. You're thinking about it in envy. You're thinking about it in strife. You're thinking about it in all the wrong areas until you come to the place that you're going to have to think on the word that says, how many times if a brother wrongs you, that we are to forgive him or her. Woo! I know it's hard. It's a big pill. It's called swallowing pride. You have to learn how to think on the things that the word says in Hebrews. In Philippians 4 and 8, that says that we have to think on the things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, things that are noble. Because what this does for us when we think on these things and think this way, it grows us and matures us. It starts defining our character. And that's what this series is all about. Whether you are using the kingdom prescription or you are using the world's techniques and methodology, The word tells us that the kingdom of God is what? Peace, love, joy, and the Holy Spirit. So that's how we ought to think. So let's talk about this for a moment. Let's talk about what the kingdom prescription is, because when I refer to it, I'm referring to it as defined. The kingdom prescription is the word of God pertaining to your life in any set of circumstance or situation that you would speak out of your mouth. You would speak those things and believing, and then you want to ask for a little more grace. That is what the kingdom prescription is. Now, when we look at the 66 books of the Bible, we recognize that in those 66 books are the graces, the promises, the yea and amen that we have been blessed with as believers. So now we have to go to the book. We have to face the book, get what we need. We understand that we already get our instructions from there. And let me prove it to you. Matthew 6:33. In any situation, the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else would be added. That's our thinking. That is to take our point of contact on how we are going to conduct our behavior and respond to any set of circumstances or situations. Because I know I've learned that now, when the enemy tries to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against them, and it does that by us opening our mouth and decreeing and declaring the word so we can put a seal on or block out, tear down the stronghold that the enemy is trying to bring in. I looked at Facebook today, and I was just overjoyed for a moment. I watched a little excerpt from Steve Harvey's show. I want to encourage you to watch it. I even shared it on my page. The man talked about having a real relationship. The man said, if you think you can do this life without God, you are tripping. He said it three times. You're tripping. You are tripping. He said, life is too hard. You are not going to be able to do it without God. And he said, what God wants from you is a real relationship. He doesn't want you to call him every 6-9 months or whatever it is. He wants you to talk to him every day. He said, and then he wants you to make your request known, because that's the word. He said, the word tells us that we need to all of our cares on him. Why? And Peter, because he said, because he cares for us. He loves us so much that he says that if you would come to me, whatever is going on, he said, and confess your faults. If you have stuff going on, you had stinking thinking, you've had the wrong thing, even if you broke down, even if you still haven't, he hasn't delivered you yet, you're still cursing, you're still doing stuff, you're still home on, you're still doing those things, you still, because that's, you only go, this is our central divine center, our mind. So whatever our mind tells us that we're thinking, it leads the rest of our body. Uh-huh, that's right. So that's why every area of darkness with the enemy, that's why You can tell whether you are in darkness or you're in the kingdom. You're doing it the righteous way. The same way, and I don't want to make this into a cliche, but you know that what would Jesus do, WWJD, but it's really truth. We are his disciples. So we don't have to even wonder what to think or how to speak or how to act. Why? Because when we face the book, the 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, we have a script. And that's what is called the kingdom prescription. It's the prescript in the Word of God, which is the kingdom. So it's the kingdom prescription. Yeah, there's an app for that. Yeah, that's a word for that. Yeah, yeah. There is a word for whatever is going on in your life, whatever you are thinking, and it's thinking, and you've recognized that you need deliverance from it, because that's what this podcast is all about on Monday night. It's about bringing about a change, bringing about a deliverance, identifying that enemy. Because when we recognize that we were in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, now let's look at Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Because when you go into the word, it will allow you to identify yourself. You will locate where you are. Okay. 5:22 of Galatians says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. It is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. Yes, it's the forbearance. It is the place where we are in there with other people that we are bearing with them the stuff that they said, because we have a choice. They said it, we heard it. We were hurt emotionally. We were affected by it for a while. Not saying that we're superhuman. We all have emotions, and we have things that affect our lives. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words can change you. You heard that saying about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. I don't know where it came from. But it took me a while when I became an adult and was in relationships. I recognized that words will hurt you. Words can either build you up or words can tear you down. And those words only come out of your mouth about what you were thinking, what you have been associated with. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, Jesus the Christ as our example. It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, listen, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control, that temperance. The word says, against such things there is no law. 24 says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When the Lord delivered me from cursing like a sailor, this is when Galatians 5:24 got up off the page. Prior to that one, the other sister scripture that got up off the page for me was, in my thinking, was Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Woo! Understanding that I shall not want for any good thing. And now because I am in Christ Jesus, my flesh, my old life has passed away, and behold, all things have come new. And behold, listen, my flesh has been crucified, listen, and with Christ of all of its passions and its desires, especially the ones that are in darkness, those that are in the flesh, which is Galatians 5:19 through 21, they are the ones that will keep you out of the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21 says this. I want to read it. It says, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of darkness. And there is kingdom thinking and there is darkness thinking. So we have to make sure that we learn and we act. It's learning. Somebody, I told someone years ago, you have to practice to be a believer. You have to practice Christ-like behavior. It's a discipline. You don't just, you know, when you get saved that you have it, and when you get sanctified that you just have it. And even when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there is many infillings. There are just many. And when you know that you have identified the thing that you keep on thinking, it's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. Because we know that there are some strongholds that stand alone because it's the way we continue to think. It's the way we continue to think about a thing. And then there are generational strongholds about our thinking. The generational strongholds, my love, are those that, as Max Lucado says, that it's that one prevailing thing that stalks our lives. And another preacher said it like this: it's a pattern that has been put into our minds or drilled into your mind or burned into your mind that causes us to think or perceive that there is no other way to do a thing. Ooh, I like that when I read that. I love Max Lucado. Because when you have that prevailing thing that is perverted, that is of darkness, it hinders you. It has you stuck on stupid, if I can say that. It has you stuck, spiritually stuck. And it has you saying the same thing out of your mouth. And you know that you want a different result, but you keep saying the same thing. But you're not going to get a different result until you do something different. That's what I was sharing with you earlier, that I recognize that this mouth came on Sunday because years ago, I need to make this point. I was at SMO, which I call a Sunday morning only Christian. I really had not developed a relationship with God. I hadn't really developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I didn't take time out on a regular basis to commune, to thank Him, to have praise time, to read the Word. I was just going. I was busy working. You know, I had two businesses. I was all over the place, and I was just doing different things, and I was not thinking kingdom thinking. I was doing what I thought that I needed to do. Did you notice how many of those eyes are in there? That ego? Once I recognized that my life had to change, I had to do something different. And the Holy Spirit is so sweet. He is so sweet. He's such a gentleman. When I asked, He gave it to me. He delivered me. He helped me. So tonight I'm here to tell you that according to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, that says this, listen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the question today is, do you have a stronghold or do you have a generational stronghold? Do you have one of those strongholds that the other preacher said that it's a pattern that has been put into your life? You know, I mean, it's what I call the tragedy of tradition. It's something that has happened down through your family. And everybody else can see it. So, you know, like, okay, Well, it used to be for us. That's why I wrote the book, that diabetes will stop with me, using the kingdom prescription, because we had a history of being fat. We were gluttons. We cursed. We had diabetes. We had strokes. We had amputations. We were on dialysis. You know, it's those generational things that's passed down. And once I recognize that when in May of 2012, when the enemy tried to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord was gracious unto me to lift a standard and to bring it up that I would not die that day I had a stroke and I wind up over here at Knowwood Hospital. At the Mobile Infirmary over here on Knowwood before they tore it down. He allowed me to see, recognize that this is a generational thing. Gluttony, high blood pressure, strokes, diabetes, all of this was generational strongholds. And how do you identify those? Because those saw with way with your grandparents, great-grandfolks. Okay, this was with my dad. This was with my oldest brother. This was with my great aunt, all of them. Okay, this was with my uncle. This was with those cousins way back. And then in 2012, it hit my son, which was another generation. And then when it hit me, no, it's going to stop. So you have to make up your mind. Make up your mind. And I pray that while I'm trying to say it, the Holy Spirit is ministering to me. I want to say that I pray that you do not have to go through a tragedy, a real traumatic experience to get you to pay attention to what you're thinking. You have to pay attention to what you're thinking and then recognize what you're thinking and then speak the truth to yourself and acknowledge what you're doing with that thing, and then make a decision to forgive yourself, then go to God where your help comes from, and then ask to forgive you and then help and impart into you the strength and the power that you need according to His Word. His Word says in Philippians that you can do all things through Christ, so you need to ask the Holy Spirit for that help, and He will bring it about. He will give you righteous thinking. He will give you empowered thinking, all right? He will allow you to get on those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, all right? Because when you think on that, think about it. Think about this. When you think about things that are lovely, when you take a minute and you can take a five-minute vacation in your mind, because we know that that's where the battlefield is, in our mind, what we think. That's why it's important for you to make sure that you get free tonight. You get free, that you are set free from anything that has you bound in your mind about what you are thinking of different areas in your life that's got you stuck. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Galatians 5:1 gives you a promise. It says, therefore then, stand in the liberty, what? Whereby Christ has set you free. And be not, do this one, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Whatever that thing was, you don't have to be entangled again to it. You have to speak the truth and shame the devil. And you can do it alone. I love it. And I love what Steve Harvey said today. He said, listen, you don't have to make an appointment with God. Say, the Holy Ghost is always ready. Say, all you have to do is say it in the name of Jesus and said, you don't get a busy signal. You then get exactly what you ask for because you believe it. Luke 11 tells us, listen, so whatever you pray for, whatever you ask for, and you believe it, by faith you already have it when you ask for it. Then receive it. And then that's when you start recognizing. That's when you start paying attention. That's when you can get together with God by yourself if you don't want to come with someone else and get an agreement. And it's healthy to have accountability in your thinking when you're making transitions. Because there will be a transformation. There will be a time that you'll be able to testify about the time that you were in transition and then the time that you were transformed, that you were delivered by the Spirit of God. Because he will change you if you want to be changed. And remember, I gave you an acronym for change. Change is clearly hearing a need God expressed. And the Holy Spirit is a regenerator. He is a gentleman. When things are going wrong and you continue to have stinking thinking and it's affecting your heart, it's affecting your heart, because since he dwells on the inside of you, he can discern the very thought and the intent of your heart. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that if you want to be delivered from those wrong thoughts in your mind, you need to call on him. You need to get into the word and decree and declare and say, Father God, from this day forward, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that I am a power thinker. I'm a positive thinker. I'm a kingdom thinker. I am no longer in darkness. You said that all I have to do is call on the name of Jesus and whatever I ask. That's the word. Whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, and I believe it, I shall receive it, and it shall be mine. So that's where we want to be tonight. We want to have our thinking changed. Reoccurring, listen, well, as I was reading you about Galatians 5, down to 21, it says, reoccurring destructive habits or strongholds are the ones that will ultimately lead to our demise, are those generational curses. Good God Almighty. I had to read that and share with you because that was the time that I thought that I was leaving here, because it was a generational curse. And yes, that was the one that was taking me down. Spiritual warfare, main playing field is in our minds, our thoughts and our imagination. According to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it lets us know the Bible gives us a way to stand firm in the battle by being clothed with the full armor of God. And then we can look at that. We can look at how we can break those generational curses, how we can break strongholds of stinking thinking. And we have to do that by what? We all know this, and that's by putting on the full armor of God. It's the helmet of salvation. That's on our minds. Put that helmet on. So when you have on the helmet of salvation, you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you got your head and your heart covered. You have those areas covered. So when you have the helmet of salvation on you, that means that in that helmet, in your salvation, it comes through Jesus, it comes through the word, the living word, the rhema word. That means then you face the book, and that means that the breastplate of righteousness. Yes, the breastplate of righteousness. All right, and then we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. That means that I don't care how you look at it, when you fully clothe yourself in the armor of God, it's all about the word. It's all about the word. And I want you to understand this. Do you know who is against you in your life to have right thinking or wrong thinking? It's not your bossy coworker. Listen to this. It's not the person spreading gossip about you, and it's not the person that stole your ideas. No. It's the ancient enemy of humanity since the Garden of Eden, the devil himself, just in different forms. The Bible reminds us that our battle is not people-based. Get this. It's not people-based. It's spiritual. The opponent, the enemy, He comes with his strategies and tactics, and he tries to deter us so we will not be spiritually empowered by the Holy Ghost. He tries to make us act out of character and mind with cursing and fighting. He will try to do the one thing, and that is to put your mind on everything except what it says in the book. Face the book, the 66 books. When you use the Kingdom prescription, the Kingdom app, and the app is, you need to get, like I have it on my phone, but of course you're dialed in tonight, but I have it on my phone, so even when I'm in my car, wherever you are, you need to get the app. Get the Bible app. So when you're going through things for a while, as you're learning and you're disciplined, and you'll be ready then to give a word, and it will be a word that will be right, it will be true, it will be in season, and it will bring forth victory in you. It will bring forth peace and joy between you and the individual, because you need to know that it's not about the people. How many of us know that the enemy will even use our dog, our pet, whatever it is that he can use, if he can put the enemy, a demonic spirit on it, he will use it so he can get to you. And we know what is its ultimate purpose in making you to think wrong. It's the word. I don't want to minimize this about the power of right thinking, because the word tells us the enemy has come to do what? Three things. Steal, kill, destroy. That's his job. And so when you put all of those things in a box and you look at the various ways that it can sprout out, he doesn't care. All he wants is to get you to act, to get you to react, to respond negatively, and to walk away with the big P, with the big pride, and to be haughty. When the word tells us that the pride is haughtiness comes before a fall. So that's one of his tactics. That's why the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are not in the flesh. We are not fighting sister, girl, or brother, boy. We are not beating them. It is the spirit that's happening in them. It is the enemy that comes through them. Just like the spirit of God that dwells in us, and we're kingdom kids. If we were not kingdom kids, then who's our dad? Think about it. So what he's saying is that first, you know your opponent. Number one, it's the devil. Secondly, your words and thoughts are containers of power. They can carry in power from the kingdom of God or kingdom of darkness. You choose. This is one of the most powerful weapons against pulling down strongholds, because the Bible says it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, and also as a person thinks, so are they. So what you think, and when you think on it for a long time, it's going to go in your heart. So if it's right, it's going to go there, and if it's wrong, it's going to go there. So you choose. So to change your words, hey, mama, and to change your life, you're going to have to get the word of God and know exactly how you are supposed to speak, how you are supposed to think, how you are supposed to recover from anything. And it's by what? The third thing, I gave you three tools. Number one, know your opponent. Number two, to think, and because they what? They carry power. Number three is you need to pray, write a decree, listen to this one, and declare it. Okay, pray and seek God's face. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your prayers. Using your kingdom prescription words to write down a decree and then speak it into the atmosphere to establish the authority of God's word spoken in your life over any negative influence. Can I say that one more time? Pray and seek God's face. This is powerful. The third, tool. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your prayers. How do you do that? That's right there. How do you ask the Holy Spirit to direct your prayers? By speaking in your heavenly language when you don't know the words to say. And ask in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will word your mouth until he gives your heart what to be able to speak. That's going to be pure. That's going to be true. And then it's going to come out of your mouth. Praise you, Jesus. Use your kingdom prescription words to write down the decree and then speak it into the atmosphere. This is important. Words create life. That's why as you think and those thoughts become words and those words become your actions and those your actions then depict who you are and your character. But when you're giving life, you have to speak it and make sure that it's right. Because think about it. If you've never had a real encounter session or had a cleansing session where you have said this in our cleansing fast with the conversation, the 1st of January, year from the 11th to the 31st. Of January, where we fasted, we cleansed, we renounced, we had an encounter with God because we recognized this same thing about the stinking thinking and things that had happened and generational curses and strongholds and that was not broken over our lives, especially those generational ones. So it's important that you take out time to seek God's face and to get into his word, because when you write down that decree, it's going to be in that certain area, whether it's in your family, it's in your finances, it's in your health, all right? It's in your relationships. Those four areas specifically, you when you sit down and you think over it and you get into the word, the concordance of your Bible, it's applicable to that particular situation, write that down. Because you want to pray and then you want to do 1 John 1, you want to ask God to forgive you for it because you recognized it. And then you want to write it down and then you want to speak out of your mouth and you want to speak out of your mouth with authority. Because then right there, reverse the curse, you have then put into action, you have then put into action the new life that you're asking God for. And he says, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Now you recognize that the enemy is hand, his blinders on you long enough. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. You no longer want to think like that. You no longer will be that old person. You are now understood that all the flesh has been crucified with Christ, with all those old things, and now he's going to give you a new life, new way of living, new way of thinking. So that's why the kingdom prescription is so important in any situation or circumstances accompanied by action. The kingdom prescription, when you look into it, will identify your enemies. It will also identify where you are. It will let you know where you are, whether you are right or whether you are wrong. Listen, when you look in the scripture and you wrap the stronghold in what the word says about you, it tells us we are the opposite of what Satan is trying to plant in our mind, our thinking. Yeah, he is defeated. He is defeated. So I want you to take authority over the strongholds of jealousy, revenge, of gluttony. In the name of Jesus, you are to cast out and never to return because of the blood of Jesus. I decree and declare that I am at liberty, where Christ has set me free, and I will not again be entangled in the yoke of bondage about that thing again, ever. All right, ever. That's right. And in the yoke of bondage of anything that tries to take control of my life, the blood of Jesus is against them. And in closing, I want you to read the book of Ephesians, because this book shares inheritance that God prepared for you and the rich blessings he intended for your life. It's like a gift that has your name on it, but you haven't opened it yet. These gifts live in the spiritual realm where no man can touch. Spiritual warfare and strongholds are designed to keep you from accessing. That's what I'm talking about. Accessing your heavenly rights and keep you spiritually bound. But the devil is a lie. You're going to allow your faith to be demonstrated in your actions. That's why you're going to do those three steps. That's why you are going to pray. That's why you're going to decree and declare what God has for you. And it is not about memorization. It's about the impartation of the revelation with actions that brings about the transformation. Remember, you have to accept the battle is already won through Christ Jesus to give us right thinking. Remember Galatians 5, 21 through 23, to know that how we ought to think and who we ought to be gives us an example and allows us to know how to live. I pray that you have been blessed by this telecast. Do I have a caller on the line? Was there a question? Were there any remarks? Because I do not want to come away and you do not have an opportunity to say something. It looks like I may have even gone over our time, but I thought I heard someone on earlier. But is there a caller on the line? There's no questions. All right. Well, listen, I want you to remember that you can also come on with us. You can also review this. You can go and log in with us as well. And that is YAT. I'm trying to. I don't have it in front of me, so don't let me mess that up. I just want you to tell you that it's on my card. That way I will not give you the wrong information that's not in front of me as I'm trying to come down now. Look on my posting on here that you can log in and you can listen to this. My deepest desire and my real prayer is that you share these podcasts and these videos on Monday nights with your family, friends, anyone, and to let them know that we're on every Monday night from 7 to 8. Healthy Mondays, breaking chains of strongholds with Dr. Ruby in every area of our lives. Tonight we talked about the right thinking, how to get it. Next week we're going to conclude the series about how to develop right power thoughts. Those power thoughts are going to take us into a new life that we so desire from God. So my word for you tonight is this. I pray that you will be blessed immensely. I pray that the blessings of the Lord will be on your life and make you rich and add no sorrow with it. And so until next Monday night for Healthy Mondays with Dr. Ruby, but also for several of you who are still on and know that on Sunday mornings, the Common Touch Empowerment Center with your host, Dr. Ruby, I'm on at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings right here on Facebook, teaching the Word of God. So if you have time
to
tune in, there we go. We just went off.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Talk to me, so you can see what's going on. Yeah.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. You have to say they're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. All the doctors make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.